Welcome to River Edge Podcasts. We hope this message inspires and encourages you today.
Thank you, Jesus. Come on, would you lift your hands all across this place? Would you repeat this after me? Say, I'm ready to receive everything you have for me, Lord Jesus. Every miracle, every blessing, every breakthrough and every healing. In Jesus' name, I receive it tonight. I'm leaving different. I'm leaving changed. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Holy Spirit, come. Fill this place with your power. Fill this place with your glory. Fill this place with your anointing and your healing power. And everybody said, amen. You may take your seats. Well, it's been an incredible honor for me to be here. We've just had the best time. We're fully fed. We're going home with a Mildura, what do you call it, show bag. All the freshest produce in the world. Sourdough, grapes. It started off with a bunch of grapes, then it was 5 kilos. Now it's probably about 12. I'm not sure how many kilos it is. But it's amazing. We just want to say thank you so much. We've had the absolute best time. But this, you've made it easy because this church is hungry. This place is hungry. Come on, River Edge is hungry. Yeah, stay hungry and stay humble. Those are the things that will change this world. Staying hungry and staying humble. And it's your confession. Your confession combined with your faith that will shift atmospheres. Do you believe that? Hello? You believe it?
I believe it.
Am I doing Tim?
No.
Slightly. I'm losing the top end of my voice, so I'm having to go deeper. And if I sound like Pastor Tim Hall, please forgive me. But who put these stairs here? Oh, here I come. I'm like a gazelle. I'll start doing monkey noises and emus and then lift your hands to heaven, the fire of God's here. Hey, can we give honor where honor is due to your senior pastors, Pastor Steve and Pastor Kylie? Lift them up, come on. The Bible says to do so, and we do it in honor of you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I'm going to get silly tonight. No. Open up your Bibles to John 3. Are you ready? Are you ready? I'm here for a good time, not a long time. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and he said to him, Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Somebody say these signs. Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Somebody say the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered and said, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water, born of spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Somebody say, kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. Do not marvel at what I say to you. You must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from or where it goes. So is everyone who is born of spirit, born of the spirit. I love this passage for more reasons than one, but tonight I have a message for you. It's called These Signs. Somebody say these signs. How is it you do these signs? It's evident God is with you. See, Nicodemus was the leader of the Jews. He was the high priest of the Jews at the time. and he saw something significant about Jesus' life. He saw something different. He stood out from the rest. What was it about him? Well, what was unusual about him that was he actually could perform these signs. How is it we all can see that God is with you, but how is it possible that you do these signs? Jesus paints this picture quite clearly. He says, well, you want to know how to do these signs? Do you really know? Do you really want to know how to do these signs? You want to know, church? Well, paints a picture. You've got to be born again. That's the first thing. You've got to be born again. If you want to, what does it say? If you want to see the kingdom of God. If you want to see the kingdom of God, remember what he's talking about in the context of signs and wonders. If you want to see the kingdom of God manifested on earth, remember he's not talking about the afterlife. He's talking about the present. He's talking about how he even teaches us how to pray. Pray like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Hallelujah. On earth as it is in heaven. Come on, we want to see. Come on, who wants to see heaven on earth? Who wants to see heaven touching earth? Right? What does he say? You want to see the kingdom of God manifested on earth? Well, if you want to see it, if you want to see it, if you want to see the kingdom of God, you must be born again. Have you ever tried to witness to somebody and tell them about signs and wonders? That isn't born again. Have you ever tried that before? Have you ever tried to tell your friends about a God who heals and they look at you like you're from another planet? They can't even fathom it. I remember I was bold at school. I got filled with the Holy Spirit. And one of the first things I did is I went to the school and I showed them all that I could speak in tongues. That's what I was like. That was my life. I would go into class, I'd argue with the RE teachers about how they were wrong. They were very wrong. When it came to creation, no, God spoke, let there be light. Every science teacher, every biology teacher, every chemistry teacher that ever ran into me was in trouble. And then my parents would get a phone call, another phone call, another phone call, and another phone call. My dad would say, well, he's not wrong. Then he would tell me off for arguing to your seniors and your teachers. The thing is, I would kind of just couldn't help it. I had to tell people that Jesus healed. Even sick kids at school, broken arms, whatever it was, I'd say, you know, Jesus can heal that. And they'd look at me like I was mental. You've ever tried to explain it to somebody that hasn't been born again? What Jesus is trying to paint this picture, you know what, people, they can't even see it. See, seeing is understanding. Seeing is understanding. You want to operate in this? Well, first you need to understand it. You need to understand how it works. I remember trying to tell my friend, you know what? Well, God can heal you. And they say to me, well, prove it. And like an idiot, at lunchtime, you're sitting there with an apple in your hand and a sandwich in the other, going, well, look, I've seen him do it in Africa on YouTube. I'll send you the clip. Right? And they don't understand because it's hard. Jesus says, if you want to understand this, if you even want to get the concept of this, you've got to be born again. But he goes even further. And he says, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. What is entering? It's operating in. You want to operate in signs and wonders. You want to operate in the manifestation and the outworking of the kingdom of God on this earth? Well, guess what? You need to be born of water, born of spirit. And he doesn't separate the two. Born of water, born of spirit. You need to be baptized in water, full immersion. And you need to be baptized in fire, full immersion. With the evidence, God being on you, Holy Spirit being in you, speaking in tongues. You want to enter into this. You want to operate in this. Well, guess what? You need to get filled with the Spirit. You need to get filled with the Spirit. Then he goes into a lesson about what it is to be filled with the Spirit. What it is to be baptized. What it is to be born of water, born of Spirit. Now, the way we came here was on an airplane. I don't know, has anyone ever traveled in one of those? No one? Oh, there's one. There's a couple here. It's revolutionary. You should try it. But when you get in there, and I don't know. I don't pretend to understand physics. I don't pretend to understand, you know, everything about planes and automobiles and how they work. But I kind of have a basic understanding. Like I get to a certain point and then you've lost me. Like I just fathom at these massive giant creations of steel and fuel and hundreds of people, and they weigh tons, right? And I get this. I struggle to get over the fact that this is actually going to take me to some sort of location and I'll be all right. And we get in there and you're sitting there and you're taxiing down the runway. And you get to the corner. I don't know if you've ever traveled with children, but you feel all of a sudden the pilot put down the thrusters and that fuel, you know, fires the turbine, I guess. The thrust of that engine pushing you along that runway. You ever tried to sit forward and fight it? Yeah. My kids do that. You can't. Gets pushed back and thrown into your seat. You should try that. It's exhilarating. And I understand that there's friction taking place. There's physics taking place. The wheels are gripping on the runway. As he pushes down the accelerator, she pushes down the accelerator. It pushes fuel and fire and combustion, and it's forcing us at a rapid rate down the runway. And then all of a sudden, something happens that I cannot explain. This is when you lose me. The nose lifts off the ground. All of a sudden, it's just, well, I get it now that we've got the back wheels at least. They're attached. And I get that that's friction and that's pushing us along. And then all of a sudden, you have liftoff. Within 30 seconds, you're already thousands of feet above the ground. And you become airborne. Born of water. Born of spirit. All of a sudden, the things that kept you on the ground don't apply to you anymore. All of a sudden, new laws apply. No longer is it physics, now it's aerodynamics. You operate under a new law. Oh, somebody. The rules that held you to the ground don't apply to you anymore. Oh, come on, somebody. Where the wind blows, you don't know, but you hear its sound. Where there's a shift, there's a sound. It takes you from here to there, A to B. You don't know when it's coming. But I hear a sound, church. Come on, it's time that we become born of water, born of spirit, that we become a church that is airborne. 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 Come on, you don't live by the same restrictions. You're not held down or bound by the same problems that trouble this world. You're born of spirit. Spirit-filled. Spirit-led. Baptized in fire. Hallelujah. How is it you do these signs? How is it born again? Born of water, born of spirit. Born again, born of water, born of spirit. It's time to get airborne tonight. It's time to get airborne tonight. And my life, this ministry, that my whole journey, if you will, has been, I wanted to discover this. I wanted to understand this. I wanted to see signs and wonders operating in my life. I knew the power of God. I'd experienced Him at a young age. I'd even seen an angel. I'd had an encounter with an angel when I was 8 years old. Lay hands on me in my bedroom. It's quite an incredible experience, one I'll never forget. I'd seen that. I'd witnessed things, but I'd never seen somebody healed. I'd never seen signs and wonders follow after me. Every time we'd had a guest preacher, if they were from overseas or had some kind of ministry gift on their lives, I was always there, right beside them, chasing after them, being their catcher. Whatever needed to be done, I was there. I was running around. I was there catching whatever it was. We get some healing evangelists come from overseas. Daniel was there at the front. What can I do? Can I get you a water? Can I be next to you? I was just chasing them around. They were praying for people. I was praying for them with them. I was watching everything they were doing, watching everything. I was chasing after signs and wonders. But the Bible says that signs and wonders will follow after those who believe. But you see, I had a problem. I believed. But signs and wonders didn't follow after me. And I often asked God, I cried out, why? Why is it? Why is it the signs and wonders don't follow after me? And He said, son, you really want to know? Has anyone ever asked God a confronting question? You really want to know? He said, because you're an unbelieving believer. I said, what do you mean, Lord? I'm a fourth generation Pentecostal. He said, you like what James says? You're a hearer of the word, but not a doer. When was the last time you stepped out in faith and believed? When was the last time you prayed for the sick? When was the last time you stepped out of your comfort zone? Stood on the word and believed by faith and confessing with your mouth. See, you got to understand something. God's not the problem here. He's not the one with lack or limitations. It says in Leviticus, out of His presence came fire and it lit the altar. You know what I've noticed? There's no limitation to His fire, but there's every limitation to our desire, our hunger, our passion, our desire to see that fire operate in this world. And the answer to that question will always come back to you. Where's your faith at? Where's your belief at? Mark 16, verse 14, what I've been talking about. It says, later He appeared to the 11 as they sat at the table, and He rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart because they did not believe that those who had seen Him after He was risen, He had risen. And He said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Has anyone here ever preached the gospel to every creature? Nobody? As I keep ministering around the place in different churches around the world, I get the opportunity sometimes to preach to different creatures. I literally can't say where, Queensland, okay. And people may know who it is, where it is, but I've been preaching in different churches lately, and you know when people used to leave their dogs outside? Does anyone remember that? I know it's the 90s or something. It was a long time ago. And now dogs are everywhere, pets or animals. And I've seen and I've preached to a lot of pets now. I'm not kidding you. It was just recently, I called an altar call. One of the most excited things that came out to the altar call was a Springer Spaniel. I'm not joking. The person came out for prayer and they brought their dog with them. And I'm telling you the truth. The dog was more excited to see me than some of the people were. So I went along that line. And I started praying for people. As I got closer to this spaniel, its tail started wagging faster. It started panting and puffing and getting very excited. And all of a sudden, as I approached, it jumped on me, all paws on the front of me. And I thought, you know what? If you're here and you're ready to receive, Father, now, I prophesy in the name of Jesus. Come on, you're going to bring joy into this world. You're going to bring joy to every single person you encounter. You're no longer going to retrieve. You're going to receive in the name of Jesus. There's going to be hallelujah. There's going to be a spring to this spaniel in Jesus' name. Be filled, and it received it. It licked me all. I'm telling you, don't get any ideas. The Bible says to preach to all creation. When was the last time you preached to a dog? When was the last time you walked down the Murray and just proclaimed, come on, preaching. Start speaking it out. Who cares who's listening? A couple of budgies, a few carp. Just start preaching to them. Just start preaching to them. Hallelujah. Amen. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. It doesn't separate the two, salvation and baptism, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs, somebody say these signs, will follow those who believe in my name. Hallelujah. I love this. It gives me shivers. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they might. No. Sometimes, if you're lucky, if your name's lucky, 3-legged dog named Lucky. It says, if you lay hands on the sick, they will recover. Come on, somebody, say will recover. Will recover. And these signs will accompany you. What are these signs? The first one that Jesus highlights, I don't know if it makes anybody nervous here tonight, but he sure does hit the first two right out the bag, the very first two, demons. Hallelujah. Does that make anybody excited? Anybody nervous? Tell us what you really think, Jesus. In my name, you will cast out demons. You know what? This is so significant. I know why it's first. It's the most important one. Because it's an establishment of kingdom authority. What you need to know and what you need to understand is demons weren't cast out in the Old Testament. Every other miracle, every other healing was performed in the Old Testament, and was done in the New Testament, except for the casting out of demons. Why? Because it's kingdom authority. When Jesus came, he established his kingdom authority, his reign and his rule. What he was establishing very, very first off, from straight off the bat, was guess what? This isn't an arm wrestle. This isn't a battle of good and evil. Oh, you might be thinking, what about Saul? No, when David played the harp, what does it say? The spirit left, but when he stopped playing or he left, the spirit came back. That's important to know that, because music, worship music, shifts atmospheres. That's why Elijah said, bring me a harp player. He wasn't just being a funny preacher and going, oh, somebody bring the keys up to make me sound anointed. No, it's significant. Because it changes the atmosphere. The Bible says he's the prince of the power of the air. What's the air? The atmosphere. You want to shift the atmosphere? Praise and worship. Praise and worship. Praise and worship. But no demon was cast out in the Old Testament. Never was. Until Jesus walks on the scene. And I love where it opens in Mark. It's like Mark 1 or something. It's right in the beginning. And all the things. He starts his ministry. The very first thing, he goes to a church. This church is just operating as usual. And there's a guy there named, doesn't say his name, but I'm going to call him Dennis. Dennis has been there for 37 years. No one ever bothered to ask his name, but his name's Dennis. And he was there just as usual, putting out the offering buckets, setting up the chairs. He was always in church. Nothing ever bothered him before until Jesus came. Then all of a sudden, Dennis changed to Gollum. Jesus, Son of God. And it's like, what happened to Dennis? Nothing ever changed before until the establishment of kingdom authority.
So true.
You don't need to. Oh, I see things that bother me on TikTok. What's your name? Beelzebub. They're all Beelzebub. They're liars. Satan. You're not Satan. They're liars. Tell me who you are. What's going on? A big show. Jesus never had a show.
Yeah, come on. Come on.
You know why? Because it's the anointing that flushes out the demonic. I've never proclaimed to be a demon hunter, but guess what? When we pray for people, it happens. It happens. Why? Because of the anointing. Let the anointing flush them out. You don't need to go searching. You don't need to go finding what they are, who they are, what their agenda is. Just pray for people. Cast them out of people. Hallelujah. Cast them out. You have the authority. Signs and wonders. Cast them out of this region. Cast them out of these streets. Cast them out of people. Wherever you go, cast them out. That's what Jesus commands you. Hallelujah. Tongues. Whew. Praise the Lord. You will speak with new tongues. I'm so grateful that my great-grandfather got baptized in the Holy Spirit in 1920. In Australia, in Queensland, under a ministry called Frederick Van Eyck. Started Four Square Ministry in Australia. He was an evangelist and traveled up and down the coast, but it was only a few years after Azusa Street Revival. It had already broken out here. It started, and that was the first time my family experienced. His name was Percy Allsop. Filled with the Holy Spirit. Filled with the Holy Spirit fire. What happened was our lives were changed forever. From that man to my grandmother, they started the first Pentecostal church out there. And then my grandfather was as well got filled with the Holy Spirit, Bill Bates. Bill Bates, an old Newcastle hanger. He was part of a church, a CRC church, or COC, or see what you can see what you got. I thought I'm on a roll, may as well go there. Yeah. And they had an evangelist or a preacher come preaching against the power of the Holy Spirit. Him and his four friends, 16 years of age, sitting there all of a sudden getting intrigued. Well, they said to each other, if it's in God's word, if it's in the Bible, then why don't we believe in it? Four 16-year-old men went down to Newcastle, the old hangars there, the war hangars, read the Bibles in Acts 2, open up the pages of Acts 1, Acts 2, read scriptures together, all four of them, threw their Bibles down on the ground. They said, well, God, if this is your word, we stand upon it today. And each four of them stood on their Bibles. As they did, they got filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues. Shura ba 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 ba. Shikarabosur. Never heard this language before. And all of a sudden, they're filled with the Holy Spirit. Each four of those men go on to start churches, become people that start Foursquare. Bill Bates, obviously, AOG, legend. Bill Lovejoy, an elder at Garden City. All these men go on to do great things and exploits in the name of Jesus because of the fire of God that came upon them. Something will change in your life forever. Obviously, my great uncle was a pastor at Richmond Temple, AOG, years ago. Jack Allsop. They said of Jack, what would happen was once the people got saved, He would take them upstairs and he called it the upper room. He said, right, you're saved. Now come up into the upper room. Lay hands on all those people, seeing them all filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, baptized, speaking in other tongues as the Spirit gave utterance. Hallelujah. It's your power. It's your presence. Don't be ashamed of it. It's the power of God. For many years, I was obviously baptized when I was six, and I only had one word. When I got to 16, I thought, I'm not sure if this is real. I had this one word I used to say over and over, Bubba. Bubba, 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 Bubba. That's all I had. At 16, as a 16-year-old boy, all I wanted to do was play soccer. And I started to doubt it. But I had a mum that used to help me. I remember even one day after church, she thought that I wasn't really into it that day. I was 16 at the time, and we had guests around, and she said, you're still speaking in tongues, Daniel? I said, yes. And she said, well, all right, do it. Right here? Yes, right here in the kitchen. We have visitors. Do it. Go to your room and practice. It's a little exaggerated, but probably not. I went on for years until I started this youth ministry, and we had over 70-something South Sudanese come and ended up learning a bit of Arabic. But they used to call me different names. They used to call me Pastor Bubba. They used to call me Big Bubba. I was a lot bigger back then. I lost weight. Good on me. Pastor Bubba, Big Bubba, Bubba Batesy. I love it when they call me Big Bubba. No, I wondered one day what it was that they were saying. I was like trying to be cool, walking down the street with some friends. And I was like, hey, guys, you know how you call me Bubba? And it's pretty cool, right? Yeah. Just out of curiosity, what does it mean? They said, oh, Bubba. Bubba means father. And all of a sudden, the penny dropped. For all these years, I thought what I had was insignificant. Thought what I said was being stupid. Thought it was baby language, and I didn't have anything good to say at all, but I was saying, Father, 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 Father. Don't underestimate the power of tongues. Heavenly tongues, earthly tongues, tongues of angels, the Bible says. All different sorts of tongues that you have, tongues that edify, that lift you up, that build up your spirit in those dark times. Tongues is what you need. Come on, you want to see this? You want to see signs and wonders? Come on, it's time. We operated in signs, tongues. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. They will take up serpents. That's an interesting one. Anyone have that on their Bible bucket list? Have a bucket list? There's snakes on it. Anyone got serpents? You just think, I think like walking on water, raising the dead, handling snakes. I just feel like that should be, no. Well, you guys are in luck because I've got, no, I don't have any. But I love fishing. And it seems to be everywhere I go, I seem to encounter snakes. I don't know why. I don't know what it is about me, why they seem to be attracted to me. This one time, the first time this ever happened to me, I was fishing with my wife and her brother, my brother-in-law. We were in the boot of the car and I was getting out the fishing gear and he says to me, oi, snake. Literally with that much enthusiasm in his voice. Now, I don't know many of you, some of you I've met, but I'm telling you, if I ever saw a snake near you, you can guarantee you, I would not say, oi, snake. And I said, before I could even say, where is it? I felt it. You got to understand something. It's a summer's day, 40 degrees. I'm wearing summer attire. Singlet top, short shorts, thongs on my feet. I've got to be clear where they are these days.
<You're
And I feel this cold, scaly head going across my right foot. I look down, it's none other than an eastern brown snake, about 6 feet long. It proceeds to travel from my right foot to my left, makes a U-turn, goes up my calf, wraps around my leg, goes into my short shorts. I kid you not, I don't know what to do at this stage. Everything's flooding through my mind. Discovery Channel, Nat Geo, Deadly 60, Steve Irwin, I don't know what. Somebody help me. All of these things coming flooding into my head, like, keep still, don't move, don't make a sound. You know what I did? The complete opposite. I flailed. I screamed. I kicked this snake all the way back down my leg until I got into the perfect volley position. And once I'd lifted it up, I booted that thing so hard, it went underneath the car up into the axle. My wife jumps into the car, shuts the door. We look around. We did laps of the car. Some say, still to this day, it's up in that axle. We don't know where the snake went. But I'm a glutton for punishment because I love fishing. I can't help myself. I go into these places, these spots that no man should go. And here I am, this time with my family. I take my little children with me. And I'm a last cast kind of guy. One more cast, you guys go to the car. They start walking to the car. I think one more cast and then I'll join them. They start walking along the sand, just a small bit of sand between the water and the shrubberies that were there. And I start thinking, well, they got about 50 meters. I should join them. So I start walking behind them. As I get near to this shrubbery, you got to understand, it's summer, it's hot. Singlet top, short shorts, thongs on my feet. Now, I don't know if you know what it's like when you walk fast in thongs, but they clap. They make a clapping sound. Have you ever, you've noticed that? When you're on a mission, they start, you know, like that. When you've got a vision for your life. Have you ever got the double clap? That means there's a fire. I don't know. You just, like that. And that was happening as I was walking. I was thinking, I better catch up to them. And I get near this bush. And all of a sudden, as I take a step, the snake comes flying out of this bush. Like flying like this. Like you see him on Nat Geo going across the hot sand. Like this. And it goes between my heel and my thong. You know what happens next? I clapped the snake in my thong. The snake didn't know what hit it. It arches up like this. Woof. It comes up on this side. I see its tail here. I see its face here. I make eye contact with it. It's looking at me. It doesn't know what to do. It flings back down flat and then takes off. Scurries away. I start going, that's right. No, that is right. I will stand on you. The Bible says that I will stand on snakes and scorpions and you will not harm me, you will not hurt me. But here I am again, this time in a little creek, fishing for trout. All I've got with me is my other brother-in-law. He's a scaredy cat. I've got this tiny little weapon, a trout rod, protecting me from anything that may want to harm me. And all of a sudden, I see it. About 50 meters away, eyeballing me, basking on a log up on this ravine. Looks at me, I look at him, he said, you make an eye contact? I said, yeah. Come here and say it. He drops down the ravine, into this tiny little creek, comes all the way up to me, all the way, and stops right in front of me. My brother-in-law jumps behind me. I love to say I felt like Gandalf. You shall not pass. But it was more like Harry Potter. Get behind me. Expelioso. Serpentioso. Stop right there. And it stops. My brother-in-law's looking at me, shaking. I said, "You won't hurt me. Go behind me. Get behind me. In the name of Jesus, get behind me." It starts to move behind me. Just enough time to get my phone out and take a photo, because if you don't take a picture and post it on Instagram, it didn't happen. Take a picture. I said, "That's it. You leave me alone. Stop coming near me. Go from me." And it took off and went. I said, "That's right." My brother-in-law's looking at me like the biggest weirdo on the planet. "You're speaking to snakes now?" "Yes, I am. I know that this is weird. I know that this is funny. I know that this is unusual, but I'm telling you something, church. When the power of God comes on your life, there's nothing impossible. Come on, you have authority. It doesn't matter what it is, if it slithers on its belly, whether it stings you. Come on, I've seen people healed of all sorts of things. A woman in our church got bitten by a tiger snake, got healed on the way to the hospital when we prayed for her. People stung by bees, healed in Jesus' name. Come on. He is all powerful. He is almighty. It doesn't matter what allergy you have. It doesn't matter what condition you may have. He can heal you. Amen. 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 It says, and if they drink anything deadly, A1 or A2, lactose-free or lactose-full, it shall by no means hurt them. It shall by no means harm them. Oh, come on, somebody. You don't understand. When that sheet was lowered down from heaven and Peter saw it three times, there was A1, there was A2, there was full cream, there was lactose full. It had dairy. Oh, come on, somebody. It had ice cream on there. It had gelato on there. It had all sorts of cakes on there. Hallelujah. It had cheeses. Thank you, Jesus. It had all different styles, flavors, colors, you name it. It had prawns. Oh, bugs, shellfish, you name it. Fish. I prayed for a boy once. He had 9 different allergies. He said to me, if he touches a fish, it could kill him. He said he'd never been fishing with his grandfather. His grandfather loved fishing. He'd never been fishing. I said, that's un-Australian. Before the year's over, you will hold a fish. You will fish.
Yeah, come on.
I said, are you telling me you've never eaten a prawn at Christmas? He said, no. I nearly had to sing the national anthem. I wept. And we prayed. And each week he went to the doctor and did another test, prick test. Nuts, gone. I can eat nuts. Yeah. Went back another week later. I can eat dairy. It's gone. Week later, came back. I can eat this now. Shellfish. I can eat fish. And then he sent me a picture of him and his granddad on the jetty holding a fish in his hand, smiling. Come on, Jesus heals. Doesn't matter what you take up. Deadly, it will not hurt you. It will not harm you. Hallelujah. Food allergies are going to go tonight. And it says, and you will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Hallelujah. James 5:13 says, is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Is anyone among you sick? Let him go to Chemist Warehouse. The prices are unbeatable. Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And it says here, verse 15, and the prayer of faith will save the sick. You know that word, prayer of faith, is only mentioned twice in the Bible. In Aramaic, it's eukai, or Greek, sorry, eukai. 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 It means to vow. It means to command. There's no other prayer of faith like this. It's not a conversational prayer. Come on, you can't have a conversation with a demon. You can't have a conversation with a sickness. You can't talk it or convince it to leave or convince it to come out. No, you've got to vow. You've got to command. You've got to tell that thing where to go. You've got to speak to the mountain just like you speak to the fig tree. Cancel that thing out. Command it out of the body. It's time. Come on, church. Why don't you stand to your feet all across this place tonight? It is time. Come on, that these signs operate in you. That these signs operate in you and through you. Band, come join me. These signs operate in you and through you. Come on, is there anybody here tonight? Yeah. that wants to see these signs. That wants to see these signs. Follow after them. Not be people that chase after them. You got to be born again. Born of water. Born of spirit. Born again. Born of water. Born of spirit. Hallelujah. And if there's anything, anyone here tonight suffering, maybe it's a food allergy. I'm having fun, but I know that they're serious. I know that there's serious conditions. Prayed for a pastor's daughter. She was 3 years old. EpiPen ever since she was born. Cannot eat nuts. If she did, they almost lost her once. At the end of this meeting, he didn't even think, but he brought her up with the EpiPen and told me. And I mean, it was the most unanointed moment. She was fidgeting. She didn't want to be there. Every time I touched her, prayed. He sends me an email a few weeks later. He says, "You're not going to believe this." I said, "Try me." He says, "She's been completely healed. She's eaten nuts for the first time in her life. Nothing, no reaction. No, nothing. She was fine, completely fine. We threw out the EpiPen the other day. We don't need it anymore. She's completely healed." I know. I know it can grip you. I know it can keep you bound. I know things like this can be very serious for certain people. I almost died myself of a bee sting when I was 2 years old. Through my whole childhood, I was afraid of bees. I was terrified, petrified, because the doctors actually said next time he gets this, he'll die. If he doesn't get an EpiPen or get to the hospital immediately. The next time I got stung, I remember this thing happening. I was at the front of my grandparents' place. My mum and dad were there. I stood on a bee and I got stung. A panic sets in. I remember my grandparents, my grandfather and my grandmother, my mother, my father, standing around. I remember looking up at them as they begin to pray, "Father, in the name of Jesus, in the mighty name of Jesus, and by his blood, we plead the blood of Jesus Christ over his body, that this allergy be gone, that there be no effects." They called the ambulance, as they should, and because of what happened last time, the ambulance get there, race me to the hospital. Nothing happened to me. Nothing happened to me. No reaction at all. My foot barely even blew up. It was just the end of my toe. It was just itchy. That's all I remember. It was severely itchy. From then on, I've been stung by bees. Heaps. I don't bring it on. I was going to say bring it on, but I don't want the... One time I got stung at school. My whole face, 3 bees attacked me. Right? I looked like a Klingon. I don't know if anyone remembers what... But I didn't die. I was completely healed. Completely healed. The doctor said, "This doesn't get better. It gets worse as you get older. You need to take bigger, more precautions." Well, guess what? I got better. I got healed. I got set free. And I got delivered. It doesn't matter what it is. Nothing's too hard for him. Come on, down the front. If you want prayer tonight, come, 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 come. Food allergies can go. Asthma can go. Come on. People can get healed and delivered. It doesn't matter what it is. You can get set free tonight. Would you come? Would you come? Would you come?
Thanks for joining today. If you'd like to know more about service times or simply want to find out more about church, head to our website, riveredgechurch.com.au.